Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts on Recovery, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the majestic Buckhead skyline, where the weather is magnificent. The days are getting longer and warmer, and we are finally getting into the kind of summertime that has been long anticipated in Atlanta. Now, as I so often do, open this portion of the show with a prayer that I wrote quite a while ago, but it seems so germane to things that are happening now. It's about when we are deceived. Father, as I observe others calling upon your name to fulfill their trivial, meaningless desires, those who are never satisfied, who always want and demand more, like craving spiritual sponges, I'm amazed at how little they understand. Mellifluously they say, "Praise the Lord," in a voice that quivers with self-serving arrogance. In their cunning hearts, they are not seeking you, but an angle to take advantage of others. They search for a way to obtain their desires without ever paying the legitimate price for it, while smiling duplicitously, deceiving the foolish. As I watch them and listen, I remember when I was young, naive, and shallow, unable to discern their deceptive ways. Their hearts were devious, self-absorbed, and cunning, harboring deceit and treachery while maintaining a facade of godly humility. In my innocence and naivete, I knew no better. Believing they had been sent by you, I was convinced they had my best interest at heart, but they never did. Now, as I reflect upon their actions many years later, having weathered their malice and much, much more, I see the fruitlessness of their scheming. I look for them, but they cannot be found. While I smile at the future regardless of what it holds, knowing that looking to you in an honest way is the only path to a life of fulfillment. Now, Stacy, I see that you're on the line. How are you today?
Well, I'm better than I was last Tuesday, and I'm still in a tremendous amount of pain. And Robert will not be joining with us. He's finishing up his Trina treatment.
Okay. When we are talking about spiritual deception, this is something that I wanted to just address for a little bit here this afternoon. We see people who are so ambitious in God's kingdom. But what are they ambitious for? Are they ambitious for serving God, or for serving God in a way that serves them? It's almost like ambition in God's kingdom seems like it's an oxymoron.
Doesn't I agree.
Like it's something that can't be. I mean, if you have all of these grandiose hopes and plans for yourself, then how does that work with God's kingdom? I see these people, and they push real hard at having their own will and at having their own situations, building their own kingdom and calling it God's. And here's the thing, and this is why we do so much with recovering from religious abuse. If you get in the way of their plan, if you get in any kind of cross purposes, they will discard you in a heartbeat. And the problem with that is, not just like, well, you know what, you're doing one thing, I'm doing another, we need to part ways. It's there's something wrong with you.
Exactly.
And that is what makes the whole thing so difficult and so bad.
Exactly. They want you to fit into their mold. And if you have any kind of serious abuse in your background, they think that all you have to do is say a few prayers, and then you're going to fit into their mold. And if you don't, I mean, you know, yourself, recovery isn't an overnight thing. It's work. And if you don't fit into their mold very quickly, they think you don't have enough faith, or you haven't prayed enough, or there's sin in your life, and they discard you, and you go away more wounded than before, and often mad at God.
Well, you know, here's the thing in the way I see it. You know, when someone comes to the Lord, it's just as I am, and he takes them just as I am. Now, that is they are very imperfect, flawed in many ways. And then the Lord begins his process of conforming them into his image. But some people start way down the ladder. And my experience with some of these people, you know, in some of these churches, is that they want people to be transformed almost completely, almost immediately.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have great patience for themselves and little for others.
Yeah.
What
does that cause to happen, Jack? It causes the wounded person not only to walk away from the church, but to have an extremely distorted view of who they are, of who God is, what Jesus did on the cross. The whole thing gets muddled. And then...
Well, and here we are in a nation that says that we're very religious, but there are 40 million wounded believers who really have very little to do with Christianity anymore. They've dropped out.
Yeah.
And it's easy to see why they have. You know, people that are in churches, it's like, well, I don't understand this at all. This is not right. They should be here, and if they aren't, it's their fault. But if you've been used, abused, and unceremoniously discarded and told that there's something basically wrong with you, what is the motivation to return?
None.
Yeah.
Zero.
Zero. So that's why we have the show. That's why we talk about these things. That's why we publish the stuff that we do. We're doing it for the people who are hurt the most. And
yeah, because, Jack, I've gone through it myself. You have. I'm going through it right now at my own church. And be it not for the things that I've learned and been strengthened these last couple of years, well, I'd be distraught. Now I pray for these people. And I know, especially after the last couple radio shows, regardless, I belong to God and he's going to take care of me. May not be like I like, but he is going to take care of me.
The
God who created God, everything.
The Lord does
my corner.
In his own time. He does it in his own time and in his own way, which rarely follows the pattern that we prescribe for it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm ready for him to change half a dozen things, you know, like, you know, why didn't you do it yesterday? I'm ready. You know, I'm ready for that change, man. Let's go. Let's get this program. And, you know, and it never happens that way. But
no.
a couple of years down the line, you look back and you say, oh, well, that is how that worked. That is how that happened. This is what's you know, what it's all about. And, you know, and it makes us have a, you know, the desire, well, because God reaches down when we're wounded and helps us, it gives us a heart, not just for him, but for others who are wounded.
Yeah.
So, you know, I saw today on our website, you know, there's, you know, a woman ordered, you know, a half a dozen books for, you know, on eating disorders. And, you know, we have material for that. And it was, it's not something that we, that is our, you know, bread and butter product, but we have good materials for that. And people that have eating disorders, I mean, they just, their self-worth is just so badly diminished. It's really tough. And,
yes, it is. And, you know, Jack, people make all of these, oh, poor so-and-so, he's an alcoholic. Well, truthfully, alcohol is not much more than sugar. And the only real difference, in my estimation, between an alcoholic and a foodaholic is the alcoholic displays terrible behavior. And it is expressed outward throughout the whole family. The foodaholic destroys themselves from the inside. It's all about their pain. And they self-medicate.
Well, you know, a foodaholic doesn't make a rear end out of himself and have to apologize all the time.
Exactly.
That is a big deal.
It is. It's a big deal.
And there, you know, it is interesting. Someone asked me the other day, you know, I'm coming on my first anniversary of not having had anything to drink, which is a long time for an Irishman.
Thank God, yeah.
Yeah. And one of the things I said, well, you know, my life is a little more boring because I don't do some of the things that, you know, that I used to do in a certain sense, but I said, you know, I also don't have to, I don't have to apologize for anything.
Right.
Or to anybody. I mean, I'm not obnoxious. I don't do some of the things where I wake up and say, oh, I can't believe I said that.
Yeah.
I've got to tell so-and-so, you know, I've got to make that right. And then have to call
and
apologize.
And that's if you even remember. A lot of times they
that's correct. That's correct. Or, you know, have someone say, do you remember what you said last night? No.
No.
Well, this is what you said last night. Oh, no, I'm so sorry. Well, I'm tired of you being like that. I'm not interested in being around you when you drink. If you if you drink around me again, I don't ever want anything to do with you. Do you understand me? Yeah. Well, see, things like this happen to alcoholics all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of them get very defensive and justify what they've done. Others just take it for what it is. Now, I was down in on St. Simon's Island for a couple of days. And I was with two friends, and we were sitting at a table, and at the table next to us was a man and a woman. And they had been drinking quite a bit. And she was mad at him. Whoa. She reached over and pinched him so hard that, you know, it practically drew blood. Well,
oh my.
She got up. She went after him. They went over to the wall that was by the ocean. This was in the I think they call it the Prince and King, or the King and Prince. I think it's the King and Prince. This is a really lovely place. And then she proceeds to poke him in the chest about 8 times, and he just keeps going back. Then she slapped him a couple of times. He kept walking off. He'd get about 10 feet, then he'd say something, and she'd come right back at him. Well, you know, one of the people with me said, I can't believe he's just let her do that. I said, well, that's smart, because all he needs to do is, just punch her back one time at any level, and he'll go to jail. Not her.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Now that I know for sure. But this, all of this drama, here they were in this very expensive resort setting on vacation, and they bring all of this dysfunction with them, with their indulgence with alcohol.
Inflicted on everybody else this evening.
Oh, and you know, there was this little waitress, and she's cute as she could be. She was our waitress, too. And, you know, she said, well, they just started blasting me and, you know, using the F word in every sentence. And it was, you know, and she didn't need to take that. She was like 19 years old. And, of course, that, you know, being very paternalistic, because I've had 4 daughters, all of whom have been waitresses, you know, I didn't like it. I finally called the person that was the head of the restaurant and said, you probably need to get security because this looks like domestic violence. And so they made a call, and about 30 seconds later, this couple, you know, ceased what they were doing. The guy came walking by, and, you know, I told him, as he walked by, he looked at me, and I said, you're a smart man to walk away from this. And he said, thank you. And she came by about 30 seconds later, red as a beet, humiliated and mortified that she had made such a blazing rear end out of herself in her drunkenness. Now, I'll be honest with you. I have been in situations like that at least a dozen times in my life. Maybe
so
2 or 3 dozen. Yeah.
Yes.
And
so long.
Ruin things, make relationships go sour, and nothing of value came from it. You think that you're going to have fun and just have a couple of drinks and it'll be okay. And then it gets out of hand. And that, of course, is one of the major reasons that I stopped drinking. I was tired of having to apologize for poor behavior. And you know what? I don't have to do that anymore.
No.
I mean, I don't.
I don't like it when people say, oh, don't pay any attention to that. He was just drunk. Well, if you're going to behave that obnoxiously when you're drunk, then you shouldn't drink. It's not okay.
No.
It's not
an excuse.
Right.
Well, it's not a justification. And that's
no.
what they want to do is justify it as it's okay because the person was just drunk. Not true.
Yeah.
Not true. Not true. Now, if people have drinking or substance abuse problems, do we have anything to help them?
We have one of the best programs, and I have heard this from a man, a chaplain, who had 5 prisons in the state of Georgia. And he said that this program has a 90% to 95% success rate in the prison. So imagine what it will do outside of the prison. And we have programs to follow up once they're out because this is something that they have to have help with, I believe, for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
There's none of this, oh, just let me have one little drink. One little drink. No. You'll spiral down, and then you have to climb your way out one more time. And our program works. If people will work the program, it works. And the great physician is the one who is in charge. And he's the one who does the work.
What
and
is
it's
the name
not
of the program?
That, well, we have Offering Chemical Dependency, and we have Rolfe's 12-step program for overcoming chemical dependency. They're basically the same program. It's the same information. They're both 12-step programs. And Conquering Chemical Dependency is a more updated version. It's a little more user-friendly. The Rolfe program is what Dr. McGee used when he had all of his hospitals open. These materials are tried and true. And I could name certain programs that I have gone to into leadership training because of my experience of working here with Dr. McGee. And I thought, well, I'll go and check this program out because we don't have our program right where I am. And Jack, there's nothing like it. We go deep. It's not just a Band-Aid. We go to the core of the problem, and you have to think about this as a wound. It is an open wound, and we put houses of thoughts all around this wound, all of these excuses, all of these reasons. And our program doesn't just help build down a few of the house of thoughts. It completely destroys all the thoughts so true healing from the Holy Spirit can happen, and the wound is truly healed.
You know, you said one thing that I wanted to pick up on a little bit, says you go to the core of the problem. Here's the thing. And everybody needs to know this about recovery. If you don't go to the core of the problem, it's going to resurface. It's kind of like taking an antibiotic for half of the time that's required. You'll feel better for a while, but the problem will come back because you haven't killed the bug.
Exactly.
This is the same thing with what we're doing. If the poison in this boil isn't lanced so that it releases, problem's going to resurface.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the Conquering Chemical Dependency does this extremely well. If somebody wants a pretty decent book on what it's like to recover and be around recovery, you know, I really kind of recommend Hi, My Name is Jack. It's my story, but it's a good one.
It's personal. We are personal people that are accessible and others can talk to. All they need to do is call me. It's not just an order line. I've been doing this for a long time.
What is the number again?
Our number is 800-460-4673. And our website is www.mcgeeandme.net. That's mcgeeandme.net. And Jack, I grew up in an abusive alcoholic home, and I married somebody just like my father. And I've been to countless groups, I've done countless things, and the only thing that's ever helped me have any quality of healing is our program. I know they work, not just for me personally, but I hear it over the years that I've worked for Robert and you. I've heard it from thousands of people. I hear about the drug addict who got put in jail, and the only thing she had in her hands was a shredded copy of The Search for Significance. No clothes, no nothing, just a shredded copy of The Search for Significance. It was her lifeline to freedom. And today she is clean and free. I have countless people that tell me about the abuse that they've gone through in their church. Church as multiple. We have works, and I say it with conviction and experience, both professionally and personally. Just call us. That's all they have to do.
You know, we live in a world where there's as much pain as not, and some of these poor Christian people that go to church, they wear plastic smiles and they're so hurting on the inside, and they don't need to. I mean, we can help them with things. And you know, for counselors and people that lead small groups, we've got all of this stuff. And, you know, we have the leader's guides, which we're giving people PDFs of, although, you know, we've got a little glitch in the machinery of it right now, but they can still go to our website. And
yeah, and all they have to do is call me, and we can get help to that. All they got to do is call me.
And the number again is?
800-460-4673. And I'm here from 9 to 5 Eastern Standard Time and would thoroughly enjoy speaking with anyone who calls. I count it an honor and a privilege.
And they can leave a message of it at another time. At
any
rate, these are the things that we're doing, and we see so many. The need is great. It's getting greater. And, you know, the scriptures say that without a vision, they perish. Or the when they say perish, it means they become unrestrained. And that's what people do. If they have no hope, they act out. And part of the acting out is drinking, drugging, you know, overeating, overspending, over whatever. And that is what we have help for. And, you know, there are churches that have many people that are in trouble in our society. We have an administration that is corrupt and deeply deceitful. And when you can't trust the leadership, then it has such a destructive impact on the people. They become unrestrained.
Yeah.
And this lack of restraint causes all kinds of problems. It causes sin. Now, the way that sin is best described in scriptures, really, is like a bow and arrow, and you're shooting at the target. And sin is when you miss the target. And, you know, so this acting out is just missing the target. It's self-defeating behavior. We help people understand who they are and go from the negative side of life to the positive side of life. And if they go to the positive side of life, then they feel better about themselves. And they actually can end up saying, wow, I really am leading the abundant life that Christ promised. Because most people don't lead it now.
Absolutely.
They say they do, but they don't.
They don't.
Our lives
and
are very,
I can tell
are not
you
much different.
Honestly, the last 10 years that I have spent working for Robert McGee, it's taken a long time. But I can tell you today, I know that regardless of what comes my way, whether it's illness or poverty or loneliness or loss of any kind, I know that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is walking through that with me. I'm not alone. And he promises he will take what Satan meant for evil and turn it into good. And I'm living proof of it.
Amen. And that's all the time that we have. So we're going to wrap it up and let me just say, God bless you people. God bless you, Stacy. And God bless the United States of America. And we will talk to everybody next week at this time. Blessings to you. Good night.
Good night, Dad.